Ah, close to retirement, or retired already? Time to live the good life, right? Well, you're no longer earning money. You're now withdrawing money each month. And your broker is also withdrawing each month from your account as much as 2 to 3%. And if the market drops, your broker continues to withdraw. Wait a minute. How do we navigate these challenges? That's why to tune in to the Total Financial Hour with host Arif Halaby, Sundays at 11 a.m. Learn about your financial power on the Total Financial Hour, Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 870, The Answer.
The Total Financial Hour is sponsored by TFS Financial Insurance Services and Total Financial Solutions, Inc.
The information on this show is not intended to be the primary basis for investment decisions and should not be used to provide financial advice. Please obtain the guidance of a financial professional regarding your particular financial concerns. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This program reflects the views of Arif Halaby, California Insurance License 0B93792 of TFS Financial Insurance Services. TFS Financial Insurance Services, California Insurance License Number 0F22477, provides retirement income strategies using insurance and annuity products, which are guaranteed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with me. I appreciate you joining me on this Sunday. A little under the weather, so you might hear my voice crack a little bit. I'm on the back end of a cold. Should be okay, but you're going to hear, we have a cough button. I'm going to share with you some behind the scenes. Every radio station of any caliber has its own little cough button, which means I can kill the mic. So if you hear a little bit of silence, it's probably because I'm coughing off to the side. Okay, I'm sharing with you a little bit of the magic. All right, so that's our magic. Hey, I want to share with you a couple of things here as we go forward. And that is, as we are thinking about this, they're calling it a standoff, showdown, a challenge to the federal authority, depending on if you're listening to the MSBS, CBS, right? You notice they all have BS in their names. It's interesting. I've shared with you my experience with the media. I won't go over it again. Maybe I'll do it again in the near future. How I've been was involved in something, and they were dishonest. And I was 21 years old, 22 probably. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, Channel 4 News is a liar. I couldn't believe it. It was KNBC. I was the guy that actually gave them the information, and they were dishonest. Specifically, quote, for racial equity or whatever their terms were of the moment, right? That'll change. It'll change again. We can't say it was a male black, three male blacks that went in. Unknown males. They weren't unknown. We had 25 witnesses. Who cares who it was? If you guys are on the left, if you left-wing people, you're going to start dividing people by races and dorms and graduations and job applicants. Then you have to take Look, if you're going to take one side of the freebie stuff, you have to take the responsibility on the other side, right? I mean, we used to have a saying in the police department. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but remember the old Jeffrey Dahmer, right? If someone's going to eat you, right, it's these real weird, creepy Silence of the Lambs, it's usually male whites. Property crimes were Hispanics. Robberies, blacks. Listen, it's not right. You don't ever want any group or any person to think that. But that was what the thought was back then. Why? It's evil to think that a race is always this or never that. It's immoral. And yet we would see that happen in police land, right? We would see that happen. Now, I don't know if it's the same way today. I'm just saying, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, we just had that. You deal with it in different ways. And we're like, why is it that such a small square block or a couple square blocks were committing so much crime? Well, it was such a small group of people that were doing it. And you had folks that couldn't live anywhere else because they couldn't afford the rent anywhere else because we repressed the lower income group. in various ways. I'll get into that maybe later. And so what you do is you end up with a group of people who can't afford to leave. So they're stuck in the middle of Crime Central. And it wasn't until the bad guys started going, you know, 16 blocks up to Sherman Oaks or to Anaheim Hills or to the nicer parts of whatever, Palos Verdes or the West Side. Oh, now we got a crime problem. Crime problem. Surprise, what about the folks that had to live there? Right? What about the folks that were stuck there every day? That's the only place they could afford to raise their one or two or four children. Right? So I want you to think about this. You have to speak the truth. Right? Obama, truth to power, hope and change. Well, okay, everybody wants hope and change. Right? I have $100,000 in my bank account. I want hope and change to have $500. I have $20 in my bank account. I want hope and change to have $500. You can make it so that anybody fills in the blanks, which is exactly what he did, by the way. I think you know that. Made it all up. Hope and change was just a slogan. Because his hope and change, what you thought was going to be positive for humanity, positive for people, didn't turn out even close to that. And you ended up with racists on the left-wing side of America starting to lose power. Why? Because they elected a black man, a black-appearing man, president. When you do that, when we all elected him, he was our president. I didn't like many, many things that he said. I didn't even vote for him, frankly. But it didn't matter. The day afterwards, I was still proud of my country. The day afterwards, I was still proud to see what we had as a nation. And so when you have all these NGOs, non-governmental organizations, Goodwill, Salvation Army, and 1,000 other neat little sounding names, missions of this, rescue mission of that, they live on government aid. Listen, you can say that it should be or shouldn't be, but don't deny the truth. Oh, the way he says it. Well, that's your problem. If I say it in a way that hurts your feelings, maybe you should check your own feelings. Because in a room of 10 people, if four of them are offended, it's probably the four people's problems. Right? Nobody ever cared that you were offended before. When you look around and you see the entire industry that are feeding off of illegal immigrants coming in, homelessness, industries of people getting government money, which means your money, taxpayer money, health insurance companies, industries getting money from health insurance premiums. From where? A broke state. You have to ask yourself, where are these people going to get the money from? I mean, you understand that, right? It's a very, very important distinction. Instead of rewarding people for doing well, hey, you're a scientist fleeing your country's oppression, come to America. Hey, you're a professor, an artist, a poet, and you're being persecuted in Chile, right under Allende's Chile, West Germany, East Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia. Remember those days? Yeah, they would come, and we were here. And how many of them were too proud to take any money? Now you have entire industries, including LA County, by the way, whose sole function is to get people, illegal aliens, signed up for healthcare. Folks, they've been doing it for years. I just want you to know that. Now they get to come out in the open. Oh, look. Years and years and years. They've been doing it. Who's going to pay for it? Of course they're human beings. Of course they're women and children. Oh, wait, did you see the 10,000 men, fighting age men? Do you not understand how amazing it is to put in a group of people that know how to disable, dismantle our electric grid, who don't even have their picture taken at the border? You have to have your picture taken when you go through an airport. Did you know that? And the federal government, Biden administration, says, we're not going to take your picture. Well, like, but you just entered our property. Of course we're going to take your picture and fingerprint you. You see, here's the challenge. We register you to vote. And then they can go out and do, look, who is going to regulate the voting system? California gives driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Did you know that? Yeah. What is it? What do you need to open a driver's bank account? Yep. What do you need to go into a liquor store, bar, vote? Oh, wait, just kidding. Not vote. Isn't that interesting? Wow. I told you how to solve it. It's very easy to solve the election thing. You request a mail-in ballot by a certain time, or you show up in person. Each time we fingerprint your right thumb. You don't have a right thumb, we go to the left thumb. You don't have a left thumb, we go to the right index finger. And we create an industry in the United States that has these one-touch, bulletproof, so to speak, ways that you can put your finger down and it becomes fingerprinted. You sign the name because your driver's license has that thumbprint. We can say, yes, Mary Jo voted. Done. Somebody else voted in Mary Jo's name. Who? Oh, it's that thumbprint. Oh, wait, since we fingerprinted everybody coming into the country, we get to know who that the fake voter was. Right? Crime, go to jail. I told you about a friend of mine that owned a 14-unit apartment building. I think it was 12 or 14 units. Something like 24, 27, 28 people, something like that. Less than 30 people live there. And he would get over 100 ballots would be delivered because it's the people that used to live there before. And if you lived in five places, they send out five ballots. Five ballots to five different former residences. Well, you know what? You understand that it's known in Democrat circles that they go and pick up these ballots. They just go to the mail carrier. And because they know how to pop open those boxes, you know, the ones that you see at apartment buildings, they can just pop them open. Anybody can. In fact, you can buy the key. If you don't want to pop it open with a screwdriver, you can buy a key on Amazon. And it's a universal mail carrier key. All right. Get inside, take out the ballots. You can even just take out the ballots of people that don't even live there, right? How hard is it to go through the other mail that's there and see Joe Smith, and then this ballot says Mary James? All right, how hard is that? Just take out Mary James. If all the other mail says Joe Smith, leave Joe Smith's ballot. Oh, wait. We actually have video proof that they did that. That the left wing did it, and that those precincts and those boxes voted overwhelmingly 90-something, 95%, something like that, for Joe Biden. Is that wild? The scary part is, now you have Texas coming to a head. Here's what I would do if I were Texas. I was thinking about this all week. Right? I spent a couple days not feeling 100%. So I'm thinking about this. I'm like, well, what would I do if I was Greg Abbott? Very simple. I would hire massive amounts of buses, and I would put a notification, a two-week notification. You tell me, states, if you're going to send National Guard to rotate through. Here's a schedule, right? Just like your favorite restaurant, sandwich shop, burger restaurant. Put in the days that you can work. Put in the weeks that you can rotate. Illinois, Washington State, you tell me when you can send your troops. And I'll handle the schedule. We'll have a really smart person handle the schedule. Oh, wait, only 27 states are going to send National Guard on a rotation down here? Okay, the others, you're going to receive busloads of people. Because you'll either pay one way, which is your National Guard, or you're going to pay another way, which is paying for the services for these illegal immigrants. They're not migrant workers. Please fix your language. Don't let it become normal. Migrants come and go. They pick lettuce, they go back. They work in the computer technology, and then they go back. They work for 6 months in an H-1B visa, and they go back, or 2 years, whatever the case is. Immigrants stay. Illegal immigrants came here illegally. Use the right words. Left wing for the Democrat Party. Why do you let them on the news channels keep saying right wing, and then Democrat voters? Oh, is that daisies? Daisies in the background and birds chirping. Isn't that sweet? No, they're the left wing. See, it's fascinating to me how quickly, I was discussing this with a friend of mine, how quickly the left wing became the big business and the big government party. My second thought, after Greg Abbott saying, whoever's going to send us, great. If not, we're going to load these folks up into buses and we're going to drop them off in Portland, in Seattle, in Eugene, Oregon. We're going to drop them off in Spokane. We're going to drop them any place that is not going, any medium size, 50,000 people, doesn't matter, 40,000 people, any city that is either a sanctuary city or inside of a sanctuary state, you get it. Here they come. Or you send National Guard. That's it. That's how I would do it. He can nationalize the Texas National Guard. They just do a sick out. And you have Idaho, Utah, Arizona, all the other National Guards show right up. Whoever it is that's going to legitimately fill the coffers. Ship them to California. We're already on collapse here in California. It's over. It's almost over. Now it could be 6 months, could be 2 years, but almost over. We're broke. We just took on $2 billion more in debt that we cannot afford. A healthcare system that has shut down countless hospitals over the last decade. Just in LA County, by the way. Countless hospitals. So right when you give free health insurance to people, and then, oh, but Eric, if they still come to the emergency room and clog up the emergency room. So did we pay for them before? Yeah, we did under the Medi-Cal program. So we all always had a way to pay for some or part of what they did. You can collect money from them up front. How much do you have? I have $80. We'll take $40. And then we're going to bill Medi-Cal for you. Fingerprint, DNA sample, whatever you have to do. If you're going to get free government stuff, you lose a lot. You're not a citizen. You don't have any right to be here. Oh, Eric, you're picking on old women and young children. No, I'm not. You try to go to Mexico or Guatemala. Oh, Eric, it's horrible. No, it is not, by the way. Mexico is an extremely prosperous, very wealthy nation. They just don't like the poor people, mostly the Indians. They don't like the Aztec, the Mayans. They don't like the subsects of Mayans. So they kick them out, right? The short, you can tell they have the Mayan features, usually a little shorter. Usually they're unskilled. They're the poor labor. So Mexico kicks them out. Go. There's more Gucci and Rolls Royce and Mercedes, Louis Vuitton in Mexico City than you can imagine with, by the way, legitimate businesses. You're going to say, oh, it's drug dealers. Oh, certainly there's some, just like there is in the United States. Guatemala, been there. If you're a tall, European-looking Guatemalan, you have no problem getting a job. City, county, state, big company, little company. Oh, my gosh, you're educated. You went to school. Where in the United States? Ah, you're hired. They're not getting rid of people that are, quote, persecuted. They're getting rid of people, treating them like cattle, that are ignorant, that are uneducated, that are poor. Why don't you go there, Miss Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, out of respect? Why don't you go there and tell them, knock it off? President Trump seemed to figure it out. Oh, yeah, President, I don't care what he says or tweets. How many of you think that what President Trump tweets, my children, I don't want my daughter to hear here. Can't grow up in a world where my kids. Oh, you self-righteous son of a gun. You had no problem voting for Clinton. You had no problem voting for Obama. What about their scandals? You had no problem voting for Mr. Biden. Hillary. Don't be a hypocrite. You're hiring a CEO. Not a best friend. You're hiring somebody to do the job, not be my friend.
It'd be nice to meet a president. I've told you before, I would even meet President Biden. I'd love to meet anybody. I don't hate the man. He doesn't know what state he's in. He doesn't know what city he doesn't know how to speak anymore. I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet any president. It'd be interesting. But it has nothing to do with his competency, his mean tweets. Right, why do they pick on him so much? You ever think about that? Because if they can keep him off balance, maybe, just maybe, he won't find some solution somewhere that can become a problem. I don't know. It's kind of interesting when you think about it. Black male voters are now unleashing their frustrations about Biden and the Democrat Party. That, to me, is fascinating. Why? Because in Michigan themselves, they look and say, wait a second, we have been here for how long? And you're not supporting us? We have been here for how long? And you still think that you're going to give us some sort of free something? How about bring in companies and jobs? Oh, we have a Democrat governor. Sorry about that. New Jersey losing people like it's going out of style. New Jersey is one of the fastest growing people that leave the state. California still has the most, but New Jersey has the fastest increasing amount. California, I think last year was about 2,100, if I'm not mistaken. It's pretty big when you think about it. 2,100 people per day. No wonder it costs a lot of money to get a U-Haul truck and head east or north or south. Right? Try to get listen, you've heard me say, I am not a fan. One of you really hates me. It's interesting. I know you must work for one of the big companies. Listen, if you can afford $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to move your 2,500, 3,500 square foot house, you do it. But if you cannot, and you got to hire a secondary company and the guys show up and you know that they're parolees, I'm not saying don't give them a chance. I do. I give them a chance at different jobs that we do. But not with my prized possessions, not with an open check, not with holding my property hostage, which is what they do, by the way. Not all of them, not every time. Oh, Eric, not every time. But I just had this with another client. Oh, they showed up with only half the truck. You heard me a couple weeks ago, I shared it. They only showed up with a half a truck. Where's my other half a truck? $5,000 more and you can have it. I'm like, listen, I get it. Don't move old furniture. Whatever you want. But probably your TV is 3, 4, 5, 8 years, not always. But let's say it's 5 years old. Today's technology is way better for $480. What does it cost to move it and insure it? And then they sell you the fake insurance, which is replacement cost. So you get $62 if it damages, by the way. You don't get the full amount. Actual cash value is what they usually call it, but they lie to you and tell you it's no, Eric, that's not what we do. Okay, your company is honest. Give me the last 250 people. I would bet I'm going to have 150 complaints. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong. Hey, God, because listen, when I'm wrong, I tell you I'm wrong. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I overestimated, underestimated, whatever. If you're going to be one of those that leaves the state, which I'm telling you back to the beginning, if you are not willing to volunteer, to sit on school boards, to run for city council, to support the people running for city council or water board or PTA president, if you're not going to be the one that participates in elevating those people, then in my opinion, if you're conservative, you should leave. I'm sorry. I know you're 61 or 4, 9, 10. I mean, I get it. Right? It's nobody wants to. I wish you grew up at a time of peace and prosperity. You're not. I wish you would have retired. Yes, you got suckered. Yes, you got suckered into a state. But if you're the anchor holding down the rest of your family, guys, you have to bear a responsibility, just like my parents bear a responsibility for getting our family out of Michigan in the 60s. Right? It was falling horribly. Detroit was going out of business. The K car, remember that joke? And they allowed our family, my sisters and myself, and hence our children, to be raised in a beautiful place called California. That place doesn't exist anymore. Don't hold on to it from the 70s or the 80s. It doesn't exist. Be back after this. Stay with me. Arif Halaby, 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. 888-99-RETIRE. I'm Arif Halaby. We'll be right back.
Makes your money work for you. Learn about financial power, the total financial hour. Learn about financial power, the total financial hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the total financial hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the total
financial hour. Hey, welcome back. I'm Arif Halaby. This is the Total Financial Hour. Hey, listen, how many of you have a side hustle? You've heard it described as a side hustle, part-time job, secondary source of income. You know, I remember when I was newly married, you know, and your wife, my wife in this case, worked at home and managed three kids, a household, me. And I always said, we have a two-income family. I have two jobs. Well, first of all, that's disrespect to my wife. I was thinking recently how amazing of a person she is when it comes to managing our house, and now that our kids are grown, managing businesses and real estate holdings, whatever we have, me, which is probably 10 times worse than everything else. You think about that and you go, gosh, you know, a secondary job. My hat goes off to you ladies, especially ladies, because you seem to be more inclined to be able to run a household better than us guys do, but not everybody. And I always wondered to myself, how do you do it when your spouse works, right? Your husband works, and then you have to work and then take care of the kids. That's such not an easy thing to do, financially speaking or otherwise, because the kids are in daycare. So immediately you're starting the month off minus a certain amount of dollars, because that goes out no matter what. And you only get the kids as a guy who has all three children now out of the house in my mid-50s. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I could go back and spend a little bit more time with them. I wish I could go back and maybe, just maybe, do this one day less per week, even per month. You know, then you look and you say, but then we wouldn't have what we have maybe, and maybe the kids wouldn't see the kind of work ethic I had and wouldn't have had the love that we would expect from others. You know, you wonder, how does that work in raising a family when your wife or husband is working two jobs? It's not easy. Look, I'm all for our billionaires making money because they are innovative. They create jobs. I'm all for that. I want them to pay less in taxes, just like I want to pay less in taxes. I want them to make more money, just like I want to make more money. You want to make more money. I want to have a better life financially and health and everything, just like they do. Okay, you get it? Non-disputable BS. Got it. Check that box. But what about the average wage to somebody down in I'm absolutely not a proponent for minimum wage. Absolutely not. But when the House votes to repeal a labor board law on franchise workers, basically contract 1099 workers, because the silly Biden administration doesn't think you should have the independence to decide your own financial fate. Is that amazing? They want you to be classified as an employee. Why? So you have to pay payroll tax, which is government tax and Social Security. unemployment. Listen, if you're not going to save anything for your retirement, then absolutely just get a job with the city, county, state. Go get a good job. If you're going to complain every day that the small business doesn't give you a pay raise, go get a city, county, state job. Right? Nobody wants to be around somebody who complains. My boss doesn't give me a pay raise. Probably because you're a jerk. Because if you complain this much to me, probably you complain even more to them. Or at least they find out that you do. Of course you have to play the game. But I think you should have a side hustle no matter what. The laws are always written for people with small businesses. Always. Less when the Democrats are in office, more when the Republicans are in office. Why do you think they want illegal immigrants to come here? Why do you think they want to raise minimum wage? The bureaucratic, both the rhinos, Republicans in name only, both the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, and the Democrats, the left wing of the party even, they want illegal immigrants to be able to have, quote, legitimate jobs. Because I think that's the only way between raising the minimum wage, giving illegals, quote, legitimate jobs, even though they work their tail off, by the way, guys. I don't think they should be here, but most of the ones that are here work under the table and they get benefits. But usually they work their tail off. You know that. You've heard me say in their defense many times, go outside of Home Depot or a paint store or Lowe's, any of the do-it center type places, and you don't see male blacks, male Asians, you don't see male Hispanics. Oh, wait, they're the only ones you see. You don't see half Lebanese guys with moms from Michigan out there at 5 in the morning. So if you want to be intellectually honest, you got to think about it. Of course you're going to pay them more than when we were stopping them on the street way back when, 20, 30 years ago, right? 30 years ago plus. Today, I don't know what it costs. I don't hire folks off the street normally. It's just not my thing. But you can. But I'll bet you it's a lot more money. Why? Because they know their value. Because they work hard. Okay, so, but it's under the table, isn't it? So the federal government is going after them. You see, because here's what happens. Debt has now increased. Debt payments have now increased for the average American $350 a month. Now, because you work at a job, that $350 a month is not what you have to earn. You actually have to earn about $500 a month. So that means your first $500 a month goes to debt payments that you didn't have 3 years ago. So even if you got a pay raise of $500 a month, it comes in the front door and goes out the back door. So why is it that the Biden administration wants to take small businesses, these side hustle type folks, working part-time, Uber Eats, etc., why is it that they're taking them and turning them into employees? Because they think it's the only way to save both the Medicare and the Social Security system. Because as a rule, folks that are here illegally don't ever stay here. Now, they will usually collect Social Security, but they'll stay here until they make $50,000 or $100,000. My experience, because they come in sometimes as clients or potential clients, referrals, and they leave. They go back to, because $100,000 bought them a store and a place, a plot of land, and start building their house. Then they'll come back over the border, they'll work a little bit, and then they'll go back. That's what traditionally they did. So there's a lot of money in the Social Security and Medicare system that's going to sit there for decades and not be touched. So if it's not touched for decades, who gets to use it? Oh, the Democrat Party. They get to borrow it, remember? They borrow it, they take it. Then what do? They borrow it, take it, spend it. They put an IOU. Because it used to be that there was money set aside basically under my name, your name, his name, her name. Not anymore. Now where is the money? They just absorb it into the budget. So the problem that we have is this. There just isn't any way to support the Medicare and the Social Security system unless you raise the amount of dollars of income that is being taxed. A school teacher does not put into Social Security because they have a pension and they're not eligible to receive Social Security. But what if they put into it for 5 years prior to becoming an educator? Tough luck, nothing. Where's that money go? Oh, it just goes into the system. Mostly goes to pay for benefits for illegal immigrants or people that didn't put in enough. Because if you can collect disability money at age 60, and there's entire attorneys that do this, and you've contributed just enough, and then you go back to your hometown in the Philippines, in India, China, Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Lebanon, Iraq, Saudi, it doesn't matter. England, right? Doesn't matter. Go. And guess what? They auto-deposit this check right into your bank account. Have they seen an increased amount of people claiming and collecting disability? Sure have. Are some of them legitimately disabled? Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah, they are. My sympathies for them. But somebody's got to pay for it. I mean, you understand that. So you have to raise the taxes. You have to no longer allow the federal government to attach that money. But they have built an entire system, a budget, even a Ponzi scheme, based on making sure that Medicare and Social Security survives. So you have to create an opportunity, if you were trying to protect the system, for the system to survive. So one of their backhanded ways is simple. It's to allow the floodgates to open. Soon they will legitimize, right? Many of them are older people, but most of them are young, working people. They'll get 20, maybe even 40 years of work out of them. They come with the little kids. You see that? That's anchor, what do they call it? Dreamer children. Right? Where I didn't have any control. I was 5 years old when I was brought here. So why am I punished? This is the only country I know. No, every summer you went back to Mexico and came back. Whatever. Right? If you're caught in a bank robbery and the parents go to jail, that's fine. But the kids don't get to keep the money. But they didn't know mom and dad were bank robbers. I get it. But they still don't get to keep the money. But they have a nice house and a car and a tricycle and new shoes. And they still don't get to keep the money. That's so heartless. Listen, money does not have a heart. Money is just money. If we're going to do that as a nation, we have to have the money to do it. So you have to allocate a portion of the budget of the federal government to pay for illegals. Hey, this is what it costs this year. We have too much. Shut the borders. Okay, we can absorb another 100,000 this year. Open it up. Okay, close the borders. Now, here's what I think the Republicans should do. Even the conservatives, by the way. This is what I would do if I was the conservatives, especially if President Trump comes in and they can win both houses. I would go to town. I would create an enormous push for many things. A migrant visa work program. I would shut down the border nearly 100% north, south, all over. Anybody caught human smuggling, fingerprinted, caught again, 5 years in jail, caught again, 20 years in jail. Done. Anybody caught as an illegal inside of the United States committing a rape, robbery, murder, death penalty. Federal death penalty. Done. Adjudicated over 2 years, 3 years. Done. At the same time, that migrant worker program, come and go, come and go. Companies have to sponsor you. Companies are responsible for you. Companies have to show they allocated enough money for your health insurance, personally, private plan, not part of the government system. Companies have to show that they have a place for you to stay. Companies have to show an open-ended ticket, bus ticket, airline ticket, whatever it is, to send you back. companies have to show a method of keeping you from just absorbing into the country. Maybe that's not possible. I don't know. But it should be explored. Then the conservatives can do a workaround. See, because did you notice the liberal progressive party has become, quote, the conservative party? That's why big companies have now sided with the left wing. See, the left wing of the American political system are conservative in keeping things the status quo. Right? I mean, you know that. They want to keep borders open because they're already open. They want to keep insurance free for everybody as if somebody mysteriously is going to pay for it. Right? So it seems to be just kind of a 10-minute glance that the conservatives have become the progressives and the progressives have become the conservatives. The problem is really only the progressives don't have any moral compass. They just don't. The left wing just kind of goes wherever it goes, wherever they can make a quick buck. Right. I get it. They think conservatives are evil and, you know, corrupt. And just let's look at the proof. Well, President Trump convicted of rape. I spoke to somebody the other day, convicted of rape. I go, what? No, he wasn't. Oh, yeah. In New York. I said, that's a civil case. It's 51% preponderance of the evidence. In a place where 100% of the people voted against him, realistically, it was like 90%, voted against him. That's your jury pool? They didn't vote for the other candidate. They voted against President Trump. And then you're going to put them on the jury? Hello? That's fair? Maybe he did what they said. He has no clue. But you tell me how 30 years later, no forensic, no video, no audio, how somebody is going to be convicted of something. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't know. I have very little faith in that. I understand the victims, what in whoever they are. Child abuse victims. I get it. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know if it's right as a society to say 37 years ago, you were my dad's best friend and you molested me. I don't know if that works. It's difficult. How do you prove that? I get that the person thinks a crime was committed, and maybe it was. And maybe you believe it is. But how do you live a life for 35 years and now it happens? I don't know. Because I think most people would agree that evidence, DNA, is long gone. Oh, they went to the hospital. It was lost in a corner. Here it is. Okay, I got you. Now maybe, maybe not. But what do I think is going to happen with this ongoing 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 15 years ago? As much as I think Harvey Weinstein is disgusting, if you don't have some sort of evidence that passes the time test, oh, she told somebody. Okay, well, 30 years ago, somebody told me she was Wonder Woman. Guy said he was Superman. Am I supposed to believe them now when they say I was Superman? Remember, I told you I was Superman. You go, oh, okay, well, they did tell me. I thought that was weird, but who would actually admit to something like that? Who would be? Listen, people do. It's the weirdest things. I don't know why people do, but they do. I don't think it's easy. I think there's some sort of mental incapacity to admit to being a victim of something you were not. But I just think somebody's got to stand up and say, look, I don't know what the statute of limitations. California passes a new law that even if you remembered something, you're 47, you remembered something in elementary school at the Catholic Church, and this, okay, we're going to go after. Okay. How are you supposed to ruin somebody's life on a maybe? I don't know. Maybe that's the way it is. I don't know the answer. Just seems that something is just inherently wrong. So ask yourself this, guys. What can the Republicans do to out-Democrat the Democrats? To out-progressive? The illegal immigrants are here. Do you want to be the party that that drives buses up in the middle of the night and empties an apartment building? Or do you want to be the party that gets those million voters to turn around and vote for you? That, to me, seems a better way to go. Because we didn't have courage in Congress. Zero. None. You could have impeached President Biden and Mayorkas 2 years ago. You didn't. You're cowards. Democrats are one thing, not a coward. They have a courage. Impeach President Trump not once, but what, two or three times? Stupid. Why? Because they knew that their voters were loyal to them. They knew that they were able to have within what they were up to the freedom and the flexibility to live their values. As disgusting of a value system as it is, they did it. Explain to me why the Republican Party hasn't figured that part out. Explain to me why we're not seeing them try to figure out a way. There better be some people, smarter people than me, trying to figure out how to use this new blocking vote and turn it into a pro-conservative vote. Is it on social issues? I don't know. Maybe there's a way to figure out how to get, because they're going to push for these people to be voters. They're going to push for these people to be citizens. There's already school boards and other districts in the crazy parts of Wisconsin and Colorado and New York. Crazy, crazy people, by the way, who want illegals to vote because their kids are in the school, so of course they should vote for school board. Wait, when you rob Peter to pay Paul, you're always going to have Paul's support. When you take from the citizens with money and you give to the citizens without money and you say, we each have an equal vote to take from me and give to you, I say no, you say yes. Wait, how many illegals are in that school board district? And what are we voting for? Oh, to give bilingual education, which we know is detrimental to students? You have to do full immersion. That's how my cousins learn. In 6 months, they went from nothing to fluent in English, which is a more difficult language, by the way, than most others. Maybe Japanese and Chinese are more difficult. But, oh, by the way, I have friends, blonde hair, blue-eyed. Their kids speak fluent Japanese because from 5 years old, dual immersion. First half of the day, English. Second half of the day, Japanese. First half of the day, Chinese. The next day, second half of the day, different students. English on the second half. So full immersion. But there's no power in full immersion. I can't manipulate you in full immersion. I can't suck money from the Peters of the world to give to the Pauls of the world. So if you're here illegally and you're in a school, you're already taking money from a school in which you didn't contribute. You didn't even contribute to the school on the other side of the country. And then your family moved here. Right? Because somebody moved there, you moved here. You contributed to the taxes there. They contributed to the taxes here. I'll use theirs. And you use mine. Simple. Why wouldn't we just figure that you're at least in a system to where if you're going to have an illegal immigrant issue, why don't we out-Democrat the Democrats? I'm not sure what it looks like. Does it mean we embrace... We got to stop it at the border and then we embrace the ones that are here? I'm not sure. I just think the story is over. They are here. And you can bus out and stop as many as you want. You need to aggressively go after the enemies from Iran, China, North Korea. They are here. Not the legitimate ones. But there's no way you're getting out of the country from Iran if you're legitimate. They send you. So, I don't know, terrorism is coming to America. Maybe the Conservative Party can come out ahead. Stay with me after the break. Your emails. And a special guest. Special interview when I come right back. I'm Arif Hallaby on AM 870, The Answer. Total Financial Hour.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial
power. Hey, welcome back to the show. Hey, listen, last hour I failed to give you our email address, so let me give that to you now, top of the hour. Arif, A-R-I-F, Arif, at tfswealth.com. That's Arif, A-R-I-F, F as in Frank, TFS, Tom, Frank, Sam, stands for Total Financial Solution, wealth.com. Okay, send me your email questions. We'll get to those. We might take our interview with Old Glory Bank through the whole hour. We'll see how it goes. But I want you to get some information. You have heard me talk about Old Glory Bank countless times. Many, many of you have signed up. You've sent me messages indicating such as a new bank member. But I wanted to bring on one of the men who is responsible for creating Old Glory Bank and running it the way that it is. And his name is Eric Olhausen. Eric, I want to pronounce that right. Is that right? Olhausen?
Yeah, you've got it. Eric Olhausen. That's correct.
Olhausen. Okay, we got to pause a little bit. How are you? It's great to have you. Thanks for being on the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you for including me.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about your background in the banking world before Old Glory Bank. Tell me about that.
Sure. My background spans traditional banking as well as financial technology and online financial services. I started out of college as a commercial lender at a bank that is now B of A. It was a Nations Bank before they bought B of A, was a commercial lender. Later, I did M&A work in-house for a number of businesses, kind of investment banking in-house. And then the past 15 years or so, I've been in what's referred to as financial technology or fintech, CFO of a couple different businesses that provided online banking services as well as different kind of card-based, debit card-based businesses for certain situations, whether it's payroll cards or incentive cards or kind of general purpose reloadable cards. But
and Eric, you mentioned something, guys. I want to come back to this in a second. But fintech, what that means is financial technology. So we kind of use this jargon in our industry, but fintech, you're using it. You're using it every day. So keep that in the back of your mind because you'll see where Eric, where his position and the role he plays with Old Glory Bank is pretty powerful. Because what gave you guys and your partners the chance, or the reason, I should say, that this was a good idea? We need to create Old Glory Bank as it stands today.
So the premise of Old Glory Bank, and first of all, unlike a number of online financial services that are available, such as a Chime or a Greenlight or Aspiration, which target various niches in the marketplace but are not banks themselves, they work with third-party banks behind the scenes. So that's one category of fintech would be someone like Chime, and they provide good products. They're online. They have about 12 million customers, but they are not a bank. What we set out to do is we felt that this country was in a great need of first of all, a patriotic bank, and second, one that supports financial liberty. And on that first point of a patriotic bank, Old Glory Bank is committed to promoting the greatness of America. We love our flag. Those of us who started Old Glory Bank were frustrated with watching the flag denigrated, people kneeling for the national anthem, you know, police being vilified for doing their jobs. And so Old Glory Bank, as one that's pro-America, we believe in faith, family, freedom, and that was something that we saw just a gap in society and something that I think resonates with we believe at least half the country. On the second point of wanting to deliver a bank that was a unwavering supporter of financial liberty, we had observed that unfortunately there's a lot of essentially the cancel culture entering financial services. The term in our industry is called debanking, and I'll talk a bit more about that. But in setting out to be a bank that was first patriotic and second, that would vow to support all of its customers, regardless of their views or the industry they operate in, we needed to be an actual bank and have the autonomy of being the bank who could select that, yes, all of those folks I just described, and a very inclusive, wide cast net, could be a customer of our bank. And so in order to do so, when we first started talking about this concept, and I'm a co-founder, and going back about 2.5 years ago when we started to float the concept around, some very prominent individuals, outspoken patriots in America, joined me as co-founders, and that list, really excited that from very early on, we've had on board as co-founders, country singer John Rich, who's a quite prolific speaker on pro-America topics, Larry Elder, of course, well known to the California market. Is a co-founder and actually is on our board. And similarly, Secretary Ben Carson is a co-founder and a board member of Old Glory Bank. And then probably other notables that perhaps some of your audience might be familiar with, Bill Shine, who actually was at Fox News as co-president for many years, and then was in the previous administration as deputy chief of staff. And so we've got some really great individuals who have helped spread the word of Old Glory Bank. Of course, people can go to oldglorybank.com and learn more. But we really felt that there was great need in this in our country to deliver financial services so that a lot of individuals and industries are at risk more and more these days. And we certainly, like I said, I'd love to talk about that today, as well as just the whole data privacy, which is in recent weeks has gotten to be a big topic as well, with coming out of Jim Jordan's research and investigations and news that he's been sharing. But we couldn't.
So Old Glory Bank, Eric, I want to jump in here for a second, because Old Glory Bank, for those of you just joining us, I have Eric Olhausen. I'm going to get that right. Chief Strategic Officer. Yes. Eric and I go way back. Part of it is, listen, I went early on and became actually a founding member, trusted it, sent in my information early on and said, I want to be a member of this bank. And part of the reason was because the research that I did showed it isn't a brand new bank. It's a brand new concept from a bank that is 120 years old. Explain to a lot of us, how did Old Glory come to be? Because it was a group of you guys that actually went out and found an existing bank.
That's right. We were drawn to a bank in Oklahoma. Actually, Old Glory Bank, as you pointed out, is the product of a renaming of a 120-year-old bank founded in 1903 in Oklahoma. It actually was established and founded 4 years before Oklahoma was a state. At the time, it was the territory of Oklahoma. But in finding that bank, we really felt it represented middle America, which is what we're looking to serve. And it represented not just Oklahoma, is not just geographically, you know, obviously geographically middle America, but also culturally. We felt really was consistent for us to have a bank in that state that was very representative of the ideals and premise of our bank. It has just one location, yet over the past 8 months since the time of having renamed the bank, Old Glory Bank, introduced phenomenal technology, and I can expand on that in a second. We've opened up tens and tens of thousands of new customer relationships in every state of the union. So we are a fully online digital bank, oldglorybank.com, whether it's your mobile app or desktop, browser access, very good technology and online banking services, to where we have opened up accounts in every state of the union, and just full service. And it's really come together nicely, yet has this proud heritage of a financial institution that FDIC insured and has just a really, you know, great long history. We're in our second century of operation now.
Well, we have the former governor of Oklahoma, two-term governor. She had to term out because that's the rules there. You can only serve two-term, who is also part of the board and part of the founding members.
That's right. Mary Fallon Christensen, as you mentioned, was a two-term Republican governor of Oklahoma. And we got to know her in the process of acquiring what was the First State Bank of Elmore City. She's just been a great contributor to the bank, certainly helps, connect us even more so since a lot of our team were a distributed operating business and, really throughout the country is our employees and management team.
Well,
and again, a fully nationally focused, bank for customers clear across the country.
Yeah. It looks like from the standpoint of Old Glory's bank financial technology, which I'd like to get into, meaning today's world is using apps. We're using online banking. We're taking pictures of our checks and doing a deposit. You never even have to walk it down to the street, or deposit an ATM. Although, can I deposit the checks in ATMs that are members of the same banking institutions?
A number of ways that you as you're mentioning with technology that's available, fewer and fewer people ever feel a need to step into a physical location. And we have covered every aspect that an individual, whether it's a personal consumer account or a business account, would ever need to have to step foot in a branch. So regarding ATMs, our network that we are participants of have 40,000 ATMs across the country that are surcharge free, meaning, free access, no transaction on either side, the ATM or us. So 40,000, which is really as extensive as any big national bank. As far as check deposits, I think most listeners probably are familiar with, taking a picture of the check, mobile deposit capture. It's called, so checks can be deposited that way and a whole lot more convenient than having to get in your car or mail a check in. And then thirdly, as far as cash deposits, certainly, most folks probably get their pay direct deposit to account, and we encourage all our customers to have their payroll, have their monthly pay come into or bi-monthly pay go directly into their account. But a lot of people, maybe it's tips they make in the evening if they're in the service industry, or perhaps on the weekend they have various types of work they do that's cash-based. We have lined up, and this is a phenomenal service that just is very rare. We have lined up with 90,000 retail locations where our customers can walk in and deposit cash that's directly and immediately reflected and credited to their Old Glory Bank account. And just to get a sense of that coverage, it's every Walgreens, every Dollar General, CVS, Kroger, Pilot, just an extensive list, Walgreens, just an extensive list of retail locations where using our app, you generate a barcode, and it's just like buying a pack of gum. The cashier scans that barcode, and you hand over the cash, and it's instantly available. You see it right away in your mobile app as having been credited. So, and just to put that in perspective, if those 90,000 locations compared to the five largest retail branch networks in the U.S. are fewer than 20,000 locations. So we're 4.5 times the number of places where you can make a deposit, if you were to add up B of A and PNC and Wells and U.S. Bank and Chase. And so it's something we're really proud of having delivered to our customers.
Well, it seems, Eric, that a lot of behind the scenes, the financial technology, I don't know if seniors, I don't know where that age is, 50, 60, 70, whatever the age in the financial technology world, where people look, there's a reason that we don't market new food or fast food restaurant, et cetera, to 60 and 70 year olds, because they've already created their habits. They know what brands they like and they don't like, and they're going to stick with them. So when we see technology, I don't know if it's the same thing. For example, well, we've never done it that way, so we're never going to do it that way. Do I see that as a trend? Giving you an example, I just started, oh gosh, it's got to be maybe a year and a half, 2 years, taking a picture of checks and depositing them. I never even knew that was a thing. I remember one day asking my wife, she goes, oh yeah, we've been doing this for years. I'm like, you got to be kidding. She said, oh yeah, this is a normal thing. And it was a shock to me because it wasn't my wheelhouse and I wasn't interested in learning, you know. So where is that line? Where's that age cutoff of where people are willing to learn this new financial technology of no walk into a bank, instead go to a Dollar General or a Walmart store?
Yes. Well, great, great question. I will say today I would answer that question much differently than I would have 3 years ago. And the difference being COVID really altered the behavior patterns of not just the young in terms of using online banking services, but really throughout, you know, past, you know, all the way up, like you said, into later years. And as an example, my mother, who's 83, she does online banking. She's an excited customer of Old Glory Bank and does everything online and mobile app and everything you just described. And I think that really has shifted dramatically as people were not leaving home, were not getting, you know, elbow to others at the time of the COVID era. And that really did permanently shift at all ages. Really kind of a hockey stick brought people more and more so into online banking. And it's interesting. It kind of ties to why we feel we've, you know, one of the drivers of our success is just a shift in banking to where it used to be really a pretty much a commodity. I mean, you know, various people would bank with a bank, whoever they were with, or a credit union, and rarely would you really rave about it. I mean, you kind of look at it as the power company, and you just expect the lights to work. And if they don't, you're going to grouse, but you're not going to rave about your power company to anybody. And similarly with banking, it's, you know, you typically wouldn't say, boy, I love, you know, B of A or Wells. You really ought to go to them. However, with online banking and the technology that's available, has allowed, you know, the expression we use is that people used to select the bank that was closest to their home, but now with online banking, people can select the bank that's closest to their identity. And that's that whole decommoditization of banking has been enabled, by technology, because you're no longer, you know, limited to just your physical footprint and the, you know, the zip code maybe that a location, retail branch location is located. And instead, you know, as in our case with Old Glory Bank, one location in Oklahoma, in a very small town, has tens and tens of thousands of customers represented by every single state of the union. And so
probably more customers, I'm guessing, than residents of Elmore City.
Of the town.
Probably a lot more customers.
Correct. That's correct.
Than the actual residents.
Very much so.
Eric, in 2023, banks filed to close, I'm going to get this number right, 1,556 branches across the U.S. So that's just in 2023. 1,556 branches were requested to close, and they only opened 472. Wells Fargo led this charge with 300 closures, while Citibank just closed 8 of them. J.P. Morgan was an outlier and actually opened more branches than it closed. We start to see a trend happening where branches are being shut down in medium and small and even larger banks now. And larger banks are gobbling up small banks, but there really isn't a desire to have your values represented at the Chase or the JP Morgan type institutions, certainly not at Wells Fargo or Citibank. So what you're seeing is Americans more and more are flocking to banks like Old Glory Bank, specifically because Old Glory Bank represents my values. They're not going to shut down sporting goods stores or report to the U.S. government who's buying ammunition or holsters or ammunition. They're not going to report to the U.S. government who was in this area unless you guys get a subpoena, right? I mean, there's some legal things that you have to abide by, right? I'm not mistaken there.
Sure. Yes. And that's, in fact, we've been quite open about you know, our position and how we would have behaved. And as many are aware from some recent news, and Jim Jordan was reporting that FinCEN, that is a part of the U.S. Treasury, that's the Financial Crime Enforcement Network, part of the U.S. Treasury, they were cooperating with a number of large banks, and a number of large banks were cooperating with the feds in sharing transactional data of their customers, and it really was an egregious invasion of privacy. And you know, the intent was to identify, you know, what they considered to be kind of typologies, they say, of persons of interest, you know, all coming out of January 6th. But it really was an egregious abandonment of protection of customer data. And as you pointed out,
and trust, the request, we yeah, lost the trust in these organizations.
That's right. When you think, and it was voluntarily provided, and you know, it was not subject to subpoena. It was, you know, when really the equivalent of, you know, someone, when you consider the bar and the threshold required for, let's say, authorities to, you know, search my home, have a warrant to search my home and look at my files. Well, you know, that it's such a high bar for there to be, you know, presumption of guilt and actual charge, you know, probable cause to believe that something illegal was occurring. There was nothing like that kind of a hurdle. And these banks just very, very willingly provided transaction data, you know, searched transactions to see if maybe the terms MAGA or Trump were in their Zelle comments when they might have transferred funds. You know, whether they shopped at sporting goods stores, I think you mentioned that, you know, Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop, you know, were other targeted terms just to see who might have purchased something that, you know, legal transactions, you know, ammunition and firearms, but even more generally, it seems just buying a sleeping bag might have gotten your transaction data shared with law enforcement and
it doesn't seem that you know, I get a lot of questions, Eric, on this digital currency conversation. For the couple minutes I have left, can you give me any review on that? What your thoughts are on the digital currency? Does Old Glory Bank see that coming down and around the corner?
We certainly see it coming down, you know, eventually there is more and more adoption throughout our financial system. We do not have any digital currency products today. We've certainly have focused on addressing what we felt the most immediate need in the marketplace was our traditional banking services and traditional participation in you know, kind of standard financial transactions. We certainly see, and kind of down the road, see that there are areas where we could embrace digital currency. But today, we really are more analogous to, you know, your traditional banks and credit unions providing checking and saving and more extensive than that, you know, home loans. Payment tools. We've introduced what's really analogous to a PayPal or a Zelle. It's what we call essentially a cancel-proof PayPal for all, called Old Glory Pay. And we introduced that because a number of merchants are being debanked and being you know, not allowed to participate in the financial system in the eyes of certain banks and fintechs, such as PayPal is a great example. In their terms of service, in the same paragraph that says you can't use PayPal for transactions related to stolen goods, in that same paragraph they say you can't use PayPal for the purchase of firearms and ammunition. So, you know, again, lawful transactions, lawful behavior, but consumers are being and merchants are being limited by, you know, the tools they can use.
They shouldn't have the privilege of handling and running the currency of the United States and transactions if they are somebody that is unwilling to accept all legal transactions. They have found ways under Zelle and PayPal. Remember, they were going to PayPal had come out. They were going to fee everybody $2,500. I mean, it was ridiculous. They certainly pulled back on that. But folks, as we finish up here with Eric, we're going to have him on again. Eric, thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday. I appreciate it. I know it's sometimes a bit inconvenient. But real quick, folks, Old Glory Bank. Old Glory Bank. Very easy. Open an account. Shoot me a message if you open an account. I want to talk about it on the air. Appreciate you guys. You've heard me mention it many times before. Eric Olhausen. Eric, I'll get it right. Thanks for joining us, my friend. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Be back after the break with your email. I'm Arif Halaby. Stay with me.
Prager, who will be joined by Pastor Alan Jackson at this year's Ask a Jew, Ask a Christian, Tuesday, March 12th, with a faith-based perspective on the disturbing events of our time. Get your tickets by logging on to am870.info, keyword ask. That's am870.info, keyword ask. am870.info, keyword ask.
Hi, I'm Greg.
And I'm Ida Avazians,
owners of Rescue Roofing.
We started Rescue Roofing after seeing how other roofing and construction companies were taking advantage of homeowners in their time of need. If you have an older home, or if you've noticed water stains on your ceiling from recent rains, you have a leaking roof.
Many times, it's just a simple roof patch, but the longer you wait, the more damage it can cause, costing you thousands of unnecessary dollars to repair.
Right now, we're offering free roof inspections and free estimates. Let us give you peace of mind. We share your values, and our highly trained roofing technicians are standing by to help. So call now, 323-366-9500, 323-366-9500, or online at myrescueroofer.com.
Don't wait. Call for your free roof inspection now. Rescue Roofing, changing the roofing industry one homeowner at a time. 323-366-9500, 323-366-9500, or online at myrescueroofer.com.
Listen up, chocolate fans. Eating dark chocolate could reduce the risk of high blood pressure. A new study in the journal Nature Scientific Reports found that dark chocolate may also decrease the risk of blood clotting. While an exact cause couldn't be determined, experts say the findings may warrant further research for any benefits in combating cardiovascular diseases. So eat up dark chocolate. You're doing some research, right? I'm Larry Marino on The Answer with breaking news and talk you can trust.
2024 is no longer about voting for the candidate. It's about saving the soul of America. America. Stay informed here. We are the source for all your answers. Get out and vote on Tuesday, March 5th. We are AM 870, The Answer.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Learn about financial. Hey folks, oldglorybank.com, oldglorybank.com. I encourage you to check it out, see if it works for you. I like it. I use it. It's a big part of our lives, and I encourage our friends and our family to use Old Glory Bank as well. Old Glory Pay, it's a way for you if you own a small business. It gives you the opportunity to use it just like PayPal, just like Zelle, the Venmo, those kinds of things where you're just going directly, except you're not going through a banking institution. It's a closed circle. So what it means is simple. It means you go from one bank account, your personal one, directly to another bank account, Old Glory Pay. So you're not utilizing a Visa system or a MasterCard system. It does not go through any kind of routing or review. It's the bank. It's an internal transaction and happens instantly. So if you're a small business and you take Old Glory Pay and your customer is paying with an Old Glory bank account, simple. Instantly, it's in your account. There's no degradation of the dollars. There's no discount. There might be a fee of some sort, but you know, it was a big deal. I just don't want you to think it's just another online bank, because it is not. It's an entire system, ecosystem that supports your values. So I spoke to somebody recently, and then I'll get to your emails here. Spoke to somebody recently that is a manager at Chase, JP Morgan Chase. And this person was very clear that they review people's transactions pretty regularly. And then if you hit an alert, in other words, you're shopping at various stores or giving to various causes, including political causes, then there's an alert This alert then in turn means you're now on a list to review. And apparently it's something that all the banks do. Some are self-reporting, B of A, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan. Oh, hey, we got another guy here. But I'm your customer. What are you doing? I'm your why would you do that to me? I'm your customer. Oh, because you're in bed with the left wing. Aha. Goes back to the first part of my show where I'm talking about very simply, I want you to be somebody who in turn understands that the left wing of today's party is very similar to the right-wing conservative party of many years ago, meaning they wanted to conserve the status quo. They were friends with big business, right? They wanted the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Oh, we're a conservative organization. Open the borders. Give us free labor. We're the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Free borders. Open them up. Have you ever thought to yourself, wait a second, aren't these people supposed to be on our side? Oh, the Chamber of Commerce is just like the school board unions. They don't look after the citizens or the students. They look after the people that pay the dues, which are the businesses that need cheap labor. And at the same time, the teachers that are paying the dues. Doesn't have anything to do with the students. We know that they really hurt students during COVID, et cetera. So teachers union and when they required, you guys know this. Some of you secretly send me emails and one of you even grabbed the note. When President Trump was doing the summer school lunch program so that kids would still have a school lunch program, and he paid for it out of a portion of the federal budget that would hurt some of his causes. We knew that. But then when it came down to providing that information to the students, like, hey, here's a meal. Thank you. It's courtesy of the federal government. We know that times are tough. Keep your chin up. Stay with it. Signed, President Trump. All around LA Unified and probably other school districts, they required their teachers to come in and take those letters out before the students got their mail, their meal. Do you know that? They said, get out that letter before the 2020 election. We don't want the students or their parents to see that this is a gift or supplied by President Donald Trump because his name signed the bottom, because that's what the president does. Well, heaven forbid. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about it? Even the unions will go after somebody as clear and strong as President Trump, as the president of the United States. Forget who it is. So that's fascinating to me that they would have that chutzpah, as they say. All right, hey guys, let me give you this email. Again, go to Arif, send me an email at Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. Arif, A-R-I-F, at T as in Tom, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, W-E-A-L-T-H. Arif at tfswealth.com. And our phone number, 888-997-3847. All right. Let's go over a couple of things here. This particular email, I think, is important because it is a lot of you out there. And it is for various reasons, different people for different reasons have a similar situation. So, dear Arif, I'm a military veteran with an honorable discharge. I served 12 years and planned on making it a 20-year career. But I left 3 years ago when I started seeing some of the crazy left-wing changes in the fighting force. I served under both President Obama and President Trump, and I never saw any of these crazy changes. I am now employed by a city government in Southern California for the last nearly 3 years. My greatest concern is about the 12 years that I feel I may have financially wasted serving in the military, especially regarding my retirement. I'm married and have 3 children. My wife and I both work, but our retirement accounts are only about $340,000. I am 45 years old and my wife is 40. Do you think we have a chance for a decent retirement? And what should I do with my retirement money? All right. This is an important question. Neil and Barbara, we have a few answers for you. And I think this is key for many of you out there as you are considering a few of these ideas, which is leaving the military early or what happens to my service time, etc. All right. First of all, there's no pension from the military because you didn't serve 20 years unless you were injured on the job. The military does allow, with some of these injuries that are lingering or ongoing, for you to go back and ask for a certain percentage of disability. That's up to you. I don't know your personal circumstance, but it could be anything from vision to hearing, achy joints, torn rotator cuffs, on and on. Anything that you can say is proven because you jumped out of a plane, you went to the medic, you went to the hospital, they have record of it, those kinds of things. If there is a record of it and they can prove it, then there's a chance that you can apply for disability. All right. While you were in the military, going back many, many years now, so many decades rather, you still contributed to Social Security. So that's a big part of your retirement, or will be a big part of your retirement, is the 20 or the 12 years that you put in to the military. So you put into Social Security, counts for Medicare as well. That's nice. But here's where it's going to happen. Could hurt you. When you work for a city, county, state, you'll probably have to do right around 25 years of service. So that's going to put you, just knocking on the door of 69 or 70 years old. So can you have a good retirement at that age? Yeah. 65, 67, something like that. You should be okay. Here's where I want you to consider doing some things. And you need to speak with a specialist, a financial professional like us, or somebody who will deal with the Social Security question. In fact, I have a Social Security seminar coming up. It's a free seminar. It's coming up. You're welcome to attend. I'll get you some more information on next week's show. But it's a Social Security seminar for our clients, client bringer friends, and our friends, which are you guys. All right. This is important because if you are collecting a pension from the city, county, state, they may not give you all or sometimes any of your Social Security benefits. So you need to know, when should I be working for Social Security? Should I work part-time in the summer? Should I work part-time in the Christmas season? Right? Can I add a little bit of credits to my Social Security? Because you were in your early 20s, so maybe you worked 3 or 4 years. So those years counted towards Social Security. Make sure your wife does have a job that is social, that pays into Social Security, or has a good pension. Very important that you guys also have term life insurance. If you're healthy enough, I would get a 30-year term. If you're going to go around down the road of disability from the military, if that's a consideration or something you didn't think about as a concern, get your life insurance first. Okay? Get your life insurance first. Lock that down, whatever the rating is. Hopefully you'll have a good rating, preferred or preferred plus. Also, match the 401k 457. So wherever you work, there's going to be usually a match. Probably more like your wife, because some city, county, states just give you a pension. They don't usually give you a match. But they might, depending on your rank, depending on what you do, what job you have, what level, if you're in management. Right, the management of the city gets a whole different pension, a way better pension than the workers, so that you know that. Like, not even close. Okay, the management pension for cities and counties is one step this side of gold. They never put in enough, never, to justify that money being paid out. So they have to take from the others that are putting in, like a Ponzi scheme has to come from the back end to pay for the front end, especially the management. So if you can't beat them, join them. If you're going to stay in Southern California, then you might as well work your way up into management as fast as possible. And I don't mean just like a supervisor of a yard. I mean management. Find out, because they don't tell anybody what the secrets are. It's a club. Once you get into it, then they go, okay, really, we get X amount of dollars. I get a bonus every year, every quarter. right? Police department captains would get a bonus every quarter based on their every month, rather, sometimes every year, based on their performance. A bonus. City employees. A pay bonus. Like the money comes from air. So I want you to get a term life insurance. All right, that'll help. You're going to match the 401k, whatever those dollars are. So let's say they match 4%, you put in 4. If they match 6, you put in 6. Then I want you to go outside and put in a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA for both of you is going to be $7,500 this coming year. $7,000, I think, $7,500. Okay, $7,000, you're under the age of 50. So $7,000 for 2024. If you have not put money in for 2026 or 2023, you need to do that. Okay, go backwards, put it in, and then go forwards 24, 25, 26. You do that in a short period of time, and before you know it, you're going to be up to $30,000, $40,000, even $100,000. And I would do a Roth. Okay, for 2023, you can do that up until April 15. And the Roth IRA, just so you know, it's a lot of money. $7,500, that's $15,000 a year. That's more than $1,000 a month. Then what I want you to do is to consider this. Either consider opening a cash value life insurance policy or add more money to your deferred compensation as a Roth contribution or your 401k, because they have a 401k Roth. Well, you don't get the tax write-off going in, but you get to earn money tax-free. I love it. Free. Give me free money. Love it. If you do the cash value insurance way, you do receive a few extra benefits. There's an exponential growth in the death benefit, meaning if you put in $100,000, you probably have $150,000 to $250,000 in a death benefit tax-free to your heirs. If you put in $150,000 and it grows to $350,000, you can pull out $350,000 cash value tax-free. So there's a tax-free component that happens not just with the death benefit, but also if you survive and you're going to pull money out to live on, great, you can do that. If you're not healthy, you can use the biggest number there, which is the death benefit, to pay for some of your long-term care costs. I love it. And Neil, I have to look at something. I'd have to do the math backwards. But you might have been 12, 15. You might have been in during some of the Afghanistan-Iraq war problems. If you were, if that looks like you were, then you might be eligible for something called an aid and attendance pension. Aid and attendance pension. It is like a long-term care type policy. There's some income requirements. So all men and women that served in the military, honorable discharged, served at least 90 days, 3 months, with one day being during an act of war or conflict, how Congress has defined it. Go ahead and look up Veterans Aid and Attendance Pension. See if you qualify, guys. Okay, plenty of you may not qualify, but some of you do. Every retiree or service member that served with an honorable discharge is entitled to something called a housebound pension. Here's what that is. If you cannot leave the house and you need extra funds for somebody to come and take care of you at the house and you need to fix and repair ramps or countertops, you may be eligible for those types of benefits. Okay, so just because you're a veteran that didn't receive a pension, you served 4 years or 3 years or 10 years, you still may be eligible for certain types of veterans benefits. Check to see if you get free education for your children. One of the most frustrating things for me is when somebody has children they cannot afford, they just never saved or never could afford to save. Sometimes it's nobody's fault. The veteran served his time, did their job, earned their benefits, for their child to attend a Cal State school or a UC school, as long as they can get in, at no cost. That's incredible. But here's the frustrating part. They say, oh, sorry about that. My daughter wants to go to University of Arizona. Like, what? One of the most expensive schools for out-of-state students? Oh, my son wants to go to the Duke University. Yeah, Duke. Wants to go to Ivy League, Princeton. I'm like, well, who's going to pay for that? What kind of scholarships are they getting? Well, we're taking out 17 different student loans. You're crazy. Those loans come due right about the time when you think you're going to retire, which means never. Never will you retire. Please do not sign for student loans. And if you already have, stop. Well, you don't. They already started, Arif. You tell them you got to come home, go to community college, work. It's going to take you 6 years to get your 4-year degree. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. Your dad and I were putting food on the table. Your mom's a gambler. Your dad's a drunk. I don't know. Whatever the story is. Whatever you tell them, it's not going to be a surprise. They're already smart enough to know that you're dumb with money or bad with money, or that you were suffering financially, or you made bad choices, or you got laid off at the wrong time, or you, out of no fault of your own, you guys were struggling. There's 100 different reasons why things like that happen. It isn't always some ugly, nefarious, bad, evil parent. But if it is, if dad is a lazy son of a gun, just say it. It's not a surprise to anybody. Your son, your daughter, no, we didn't save for your retirement, for your school, sorry. Well, but you told me if I got into anywhere. I know I did, but I didn't do my part. I sucked at that. So you think you're going to take on student loans to mea culpa? It's bad, like real bad, like life-changing bad for you. Community college for the first 2 years, even when they're in high school. Have them do 11th and 12th grade at community college. They'll get honors credit. Their GPA goes up. Even if they take afternoon classes, evening classes, online classes, whatever. You can sign up for classes. My kids did University of Oregon. They did classes all over Southern California. Whatever they did to get that credit, that counted. Then they went to the last two years, at a school. Otherwise, why would I pay for them to try out this after 3 years? I don't want to be a psychologist. I want to be an engineer. I don't want to be an engineer. I want to be an English teacher. Oh, well, you got to go back and take a bunch of other classes now. So now I'm paying top dollar, not for 4 years of school, but for 6 anyway. So why not let them go practice and play, figure it out? What I mean play is by classes. Oh, I want to be a welder. Oh, I want to be an electrician. Oh, I want to go track, go train, go practice. Figure out what it is that you want to be when you grow up. That's really the key. Because if you can do that, then you're in a position to say, listen, if I have to take out any kind of student loans, I want my kids to take them out. Oh, but Arif, I promised. Tough luck. Promise they're going to be an astronaut. How's that working out? Come on. Doesn't matter what you promised. It's your bad. You're the problem as a parent. You can't promise certain things. I always love these crime TV shows. I promise I'm going to find the killer. I'm like, are you crazy? I never made that promise when I was a police officer. I could promise we're going to do our best. I could promise we're going to work hard. Those things I can control. Right? I can't promise we're going to find the killer. We're going to find the guy who did this. Well, maybe that's not going to happen. It's the same thing that goes with you promising your 3-year-old who says he loves to go to USC. I loved USC as a kid. We went to games. I watched them on TV. I had the hat, the shirt. When it came time to go to USC, we couldn't afford UCLA, let alone USC. Why? Because my parents didn't. No, my parents were busy saving people's lives. Kind of, sort of, a little bit more important than, oh, I don't know, college. When I could work 1, 2, and 3 jobs, or go part-time, or go to community college. Way better deal. Oh, sorry. Sorry, we can't rescue you. The last 20 of you, we can't rescue you. So that Arif, I promised him, when he was four, long before Lebanon had a civil war. I promised him that we would pay for him to go to USC. So, sorry, U20. What are you, crazy? Now, if you say, listen, I have 75 pairs of shoes. Dad has a whole garage full of toys that he doesn't use. Four-wheelers, a boat, a plane, whatever. And he spent it on depreciating assets, junk, some cases, because he's not using it. Just tell the kids. It's not a surprise to them. Oh, we didn't see that garage full of junk. Oh my gosh, where'd that come from? Right? I want you guys to have that conversation with your 12 and 15-year-old. Me and Mom are going to try. We're going to save. We're going to do the best we can. Promise what you can do, what you can control. What I don't want you to promise is that no matter what, they're going to go to that school, college, / whatever. Because it's just not going to happen. Right? You have a much better approach if you never, ever, ever put them in a place where just because they exist, because they have my family name, they're not going to have to work hard. In fact, I'll tell you something. My mom and dad made it really clear a long time ago. They said, because of your family name, life is going to be a little bit harder. I said, what do you mean? Well, your dad and your mom have built a reputation in our community, in this town, where if you don't work hard, if you cheat, lie, or steal, or use drugs, you will bring down the family name. I mean, you understand that that's a yucky thing, guys. That's a problem in our world. Right? Who wants to be the guy or the gal that brings down the family name? Well, you teach your kids the same thing. Listen, we want honor in our family first. Education you can get on these silly devices. Experiences you can get traveling around the world. Not with some left-wing guy giving you a grade. 73%, I think, was the last number. 73% of Yale students got an A. An A! It's phony. Impossible. 73% of students at Yale got an A. Disgustingly dishonest. And we want to send our kids there? Please. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for being a part of the show. 888-99-RETIRE. 888-997-3847. I'm Arif Hallaby. You have a blessed week ahead.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.